Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Breton. Go by SEC Mike. Going to Twitters, and there he is, everybody's favorite, refusing to walk, cousin Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
I'm just trying to be a motivational speaker over here, trying to get you in gear.
Don't you worry about me. It's happening. Don't be surprised if all 12 miles ain't knocked out in the next 2 days, brother. It didn't get knocked out today, but next 2 days, wide open, cuz wide open.
Yes.
And I honestly, last night, so after we get off the show, I got this GoPro out, and I'm like, okay, what's the feature where you go fast? And I thought it's time lapse, but it's called time warp, and I figured it out, so that way I could wear it while I'm doing it. So it's happening. Yeah. It's happening. Just be ready.
Okay, yeah, we believe you, Shane. We believe you. But, hey, we got one heck of a mailbag.
Yeah?
For the cousins. Some really good questions. So we'll get to that, of course. But a little bit of sad news here, Shane. I just thought we would lead with this. I know we're pretty happy-go-lucky. But, you know, it's not about the end. It's about the memories we made in between. And I want to give a shout-out to Coach Lou Holtz, who unfortunately he passed today at 89, former Arkansas coach, Notre Dame coach, South Carolina coach. But man, I think shows like this in part were inspired by his college football final show. And I just remember growing up watching those, and that's kind of part of what made me fall in love with college football.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to hear it. I really do. I don't like when any of these legends pass, but you know, You mentioned childhood. Growing up, you knew who Lou Holtz was, right? Before Steve Spurrier, there was Lou Holtz, right? And I gave him a hard time later in life, but I think we all did. But he was quick to give it back too, you know. So he will be missed, but his legend will carry on.
And I don't even remember what. I think it was like maybe like some Republican convention. I don't follow politics that much, but there's an awesome photo of him at one of those events, and he's got a sack, and you ever bought Crown Royal, how it comes in like that pink sack? He just was holding the sack. Again, I don't think he had a bottle of liquor in there, but it was just kind of weird to see Coach holding that at a political event.
Yeah, maybe one of them old guys that starts throwing coins in it and stuff. You know? We've all been there, right? We know our papa was like that. So,
yeah, great photo. But shout out the legend, Coach Lou Holtz. We also got, Shane, one last thing before we get into this mailbag.
Yeah.
Basketball update. Ooh, buddy, there were some great games last night. And, you know, it looked like Tennessee was fading. Missouri, yeah. Alabama rising, and then boom, buddy. I mean, everything happened right for Tennessee. Everything happened wrong for damn near the rest of the conference. Uh-huh. Aside from Florida, they've run away with the conference now, Shane. They've officially won the SEC regular season. They're going to cruise into the number one seed into the SEC tournament. Uh-huh. Tennessee was looking at the sixth seed. They've jumped all the way to the four after last night, after they beat South Carolina. They didn't even need Nate Amet. Missouri debacle here. They lost to Oklahoma 80-64. So they've fallen. They were in the double bye situation. They're all the way back to just getting a single bye. Bama lost. I couldn't believe it. Bama lost to Georgia 98-88. And then the other one that was kind of a shocker, Kentucky, which looked like they were picking up some steam. They got their ass whooped by A&M 96-85, and they have dropped all the way back to the opening night of the SEC tournament. And get, I don't know if you know, Shane, the final game, Kentucky, any idea who they play?
Opening night of Kentucky?
Kentucky, last game of the regular season on Saturday.
No.
Number one seed, Florida. So good luck getting into that bye area. You know, I mean, unless Florida rests all their damn guys. But so we have there is a game tonight. It's Texas, Arkansas. Uh-huh. If Arkansas wins, I think I don't know this for a fact, but I think they're guaranteed to get that double bye in the tournament. If they lose, which I'm not hoping they lose, but if they do, it's going to set up a hell of a showdown on Saturday, Arkansas at Missouri. So both of those could be fighting for a double bye on Saturday in the regular season finale. So a lot of drama here in SEC basketball as we close it up.
Damn. Hell yeah, man. That's what I like. And I like him double byes, Mike. You know, because it's fun. You can you appreciate the tournament, right? You get to enjoy it for a few days, and then you're like, oh, yeah, we get to play now. So, yeah, I think we're going to be sitting pretty as a Tennessee fan. But buddy, any team can win this damn thing, and it always seems that way, right? I mean, we just talked about Kentucky, but what if? What if this Kentucky catches fire in the tournament, you know? It wouldn't surprise me. So I'm looking forward to it. And
you sound like Nick Roush. Get the hell out of here.
They ain't catching fire. I'm trying to be optimistic. Yeah, okay. All right.
They might be one and – I think they're more likely to be one and done than they are to win the damn thing.
Well, I saw there was a path for them to beat Tennessee. So, and all the years that I've been watching sports, I'm just waiting for it.
Yeah, you just know that other shoe's about to drop.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so let's get into the mailbag, Shane. Yeah, and again, we got some great questions. I really like this one, especially off season. We don't get a, you know, there can't be that many shows, Shane, that are diving into all 16 teams here on March 4th about college football.
Uh-huh.
But we're about to do it. So before we get into that, though, and I want to shout out this guy. He's not an official cousin, but I'm still going to answer his question. He asked about 10 questions on YouTube. We're not going to get to all 10, all right? I just picked out one because that's crazy. But we do appreciate the consideration, and he's got a cool name. Join God Through Jesus. So shout out to you, cousin. And this one's specifically for you, Shane.
Oh.
Cousin Shane, why don't you do your Vandy miles like you did the Big Orange Walks a few years back and tell some of the great stories of Vanderbilt or Pavia making the play to win the game?
I thought about that, you know, it's like, okay, because I've kept putting it off, I really have thought about it quite a bit. But I also thought, do I highlight Vanderbilt? Do I call it the Pavia Miles? You know, there's all this stuff that's kind of going around in my head. And
I think you should have to, like, really have to honor, because if I recall, Shane, I'm just trying to think back to the games you picked Vanderbilt to lose. Hell, you may have even picked them to lose to Virginia Tech. I know you picked them again. You picked South Carolina to beat them.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure you picked LSU to beat them.
Yep.
I know you picked Mizzou to beat them.
Yep.
I think you picked Auburn to beat them. And I know you picked Tennessee to beat them. So maybe these are the ones we highlight on the walks here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
Like superimpose you being like, Vanderbilt's going to get that ass whooped. And then, they haven't seen you walking.
Maybe
you
know? That's what I do is just clip the video right before, you know. So, yeah, I'm going to get it. So I got till Thursday. So, again, for those that missed yesterday, I had a little bet with the cousins. I think there was about 10 of them chimed in. 10 of them will win $100 from Cousin Shane, me, if I do not walk the Vanderbilt miles by next Thursday at midnight. And somebody asked, you know, because I went golfing today. I got a lot of steps. It's not like I'm not exercising, right? It's not like I'm lazy. I went out there, but somebody asked me, well, why don't you count those steps? And I'm like, nah, I just feel like, you know, when you make a bet, you make a promise, you feel like you need to designate space and time for those. So, of course, me, just like I was when I was a kid waiting for that, you know, as you said, cram before that test. That's kind of what's happening here. And I do know the longer I wait, I may have to do 2 6-mile days, and I can't do that. So I got to be smart. I got to get out there. So I expect to get some of that knocked out tomorrow.
Yeah, shout out to Cousin Derek. I mean, I think he's nailed it, Shane. The thought of the miles for this long is much worse than actually doing it. I mean, you could have knocked out a quarter mile a day.
I feel like I'm on death row, you know?
And he also chimed in with this. Greater probability, Kentucky wins the SEC championship or Shane walks his Vandy miles in time. Kentucky wins the SEC, but
no.
Better odds.
No, it's happening. I'm out, like I said, a grand if I don't do this. So now I got some serious skin on the game.
Brodo, Shade has said, I'll do my first mile right after the show at least 12 times.
If I'd have done it, I'd be done.
All right. Hey, I really like this question, Shane. Let's dive into it. I put it as the title of the show. Shout out SEC Sean, official cousin. Official cousins always get their questions answered here.
Yeah.
If you could pick one former player from each team in their prime to place on the current roster,
oof,
who would it be? And you don't have to do this, Shane, because I'm putting you on the spot by just asking you this.
Yeah.
I didn't count quarterbacks because I just think that's too easy. There's so many elite quarterbacks, you know, Peyton Manning, Tennessee, Cam Newton, Auburn, Tim Tebow, Florida, Joe Burrow, LSU, on and on and on.
Yeah.
I mean, those are just, I mean, those are kind of, those are captain obvious to me. You know what I mean? So if you want to use any of those, that's fine. But I'm going a different route for each of these, if that makes sense. And I'm trying to do it too. Again, the question is for this year's roster.
Yes.
So I'm trying to think, you know, who would be the best.
What would help this roster?
Yeah, if that makes sense.
Yes. All right. Let's do it.
Okay. So Alabama. You want me to go first?
Yeah, I haven't done
for each team already, but.
Well, I got Derrick Henry, King Henry. Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, that guy's, I don't even need to think about this one. We want to get back to the running game. We want to make this a balanced attack. You want to help Kalen DeBoer out. You put the King back there, and yeah, I think that would be the obvious answer.
Okay, yeah, no, I think that makes sense, but can't run the, well, maybe King Henry can, but you can't run the ball, Shane, if you can't block for him, right?
Yeah,
so give me left tackle Cam Robinson. Mm. We know DeBoer wants to throw the football all over the yard. If you could guarantee me that we got a all SEC type multi-year pro, I think we're going to be just fine at Alabama. If I knew we had a elite left tackle.
Yeah. No, I can't argue with that either.
All right. Arkansas, I think, speaking of obvious, I think you'll nail this one. One of your favorite players, one of my favorite players. Where would you go, Arkansas, all-time great to put on the team?
Run DMC, Darren McFadden. Yeah.
I might buy into old Silver Fox if he had Darren McFadden back there. You know what?
Yeah. I mean, come on, brother. We're talking about out of the gate, two of the best to ever do it. So, yeah, I would love to. That would be awesome if they had that kind of talent back here in the backfield.
Yeah. All right. How about Auburn?
I'd probably go offensive lineman Cole Kublik. You know, I'd probably. I mean, he's been begging for offensive lineman. Might as well get the best out there. So, I honestly, Takiyo Spikes, you know, in the linebacker there.
Oh, yeah. I definitely considered him, Shane. And again, Cam Newton, you can make the case. Greatest season all time ever, a single season in SEC history. I'm seeing in the comments here, one I didn't think about. It's just a little bit before our time, but Bo Jackson. I mean, that would have been he's elite. But again, a little bit before our time. And I mentioned Cam Newton, Shane, because he gets all the love and he deserves every bit of it.
Yeah.
But on the defensive side of the ball, Nick Fairley was the anchor of that defense and. You know, I think he was a huge reason for their run as well. So if Auburn had Nick Fairley in that 1 year, I think their defense would be just fine this year. You know what?
Yeah, you go back. You know, it's funny. I'm watching all these kids compete in the NFL Combine, right? And then obviously I'm watching the Iowa kid, the lineman run. You know, with Leonard Skinner playing in the background. And then you get down this little, I always do it every year. Well, how fast did Hussein Bolt run a 40? Right. And then it's like, well, who ran the fastest? And Bo Jackson keeps coming up unofficial. I think they said like 4.1 something. So, I mean, the guy is an absolute freak too. So there's a lot to choose from for Auburn. There's just something about Takiyah Spikes growing up. He was just probably one of the most intimidating guys I've ever seen in my life. I think that would be kind of cool to have back on that defense. But obviously offensive line because, you know, the coach has been praying for it. So,
all right, how about for the Florida Gators? Who would be an all-time great there?
And, again, not quarterbacks, right? So, you go with this one for a second. I think I'm narrowing
it
down.
Well, I think the best player they've ever had, and we love Tebow, I think he's he might be the best, but I know. Percy Harvin, I think, is even better.
Yeah.
But I didn't even go Percy.
Oh, okay.
Because I think we're pretty well settled at receiver this year for Florida. Again, I'm trying to fit it into the current roster.
Yeah.
Give me linebacker Brandon Spikes, multi-national champion. He was an anchor for those Urban Meyer teams that won it. I'm seeing Aaron Hernandez come.
Yeah, of course he would show up.
Well, give me Brandon Spikes, because again, we had Summerall on here.
Yeah.
He's talking about the culture. He's talking about getting them where they need to be. I mean, we don't even need coach if we got Brandon Spikes back here. He'll sort out the culture himself. You know what?
Yeah. No, that's a good one, man. I mean, they got so many. You think the freak. You think. Who else would be another good one? Because offense, I'm kind of with you. Percy Harvin's the one I would probably put at the top of the list. And honestly, I may keep him there just because of special teams and everything he provides. So, just another explosive. I mean, what could go wrong, right? You got him in Dallas out there. Jeez. Yeah, give me that.
All right. And then how about Georgia Bulldogs? All-time great that you'd put on this year's team.
Georgia Bulldogs. You go while I'm thinking.
I think this is kind of Captain Obvious now that we've seen him in the NFL, but I thought it, Shane, the whole time they went on that run there, winning all these championships and probably should have won a third. I think as we get further away from that, I think people are going to may say, man, that guy was, I don't want to say he was more important than anybody, but Brock Bowers is just such a unicorn. You know, that they won because of the defensive line for sure, but he's the only one, Shane, of that 3-year run where they went 2 national championships and then undefeated regular season. He was the only one, I believe, that was a starter that entire 3-year run. So Brock Bowers is, I just don't know that we'll ever see another one quite like him.
That's a good one, right? Just because, like you said, he's just one of those guys that you just will never, we may go entire lifetime never seeing a guy as good as that for the Georgia Bulldogs as far as a specific position. I do go.
Herschel's a popular one in the comments.
Yeah, I mean, but that was, again, I'd love to, listen, I've seen Champ the Bailey. Highlight reels. Champ Bailey would be a good one.
Mike Bobo?
I saw Hines Ward on there earlier. Yeah, so again, nothing against the older guys, right? But I just, from what I watched, I mean, I think of Todd Gurley or Nick Chubb or, you know, hell, one of those guys,
I thought about
too.
Chubb.
Yeah, so.
Could you imagine, though, if Gunner had Brock to throw to? I mean, he'd look like $1 million, wouldn't he?
Oh, I swear, man. They'd give old Bobo an extension after that one, wouldn't they? How many tight end throws do we have in this thing?
How about Kentucky? Who would you go all-time great to put on this Kentucky squad?
I really like, what's the guy's name? We had him on at the start of the year. From Alcoa, played for
Randall
your
Green Cobb.
Bay. Loved Randall Cobb. Just, again, he was a guy, I mean, I was just so pissed that he went to Kentucky and didn't play at Tennessee. In fact, I asked him why he didn't, and apparently we missed that opportunity. But I just, I know we can't do quarterback, but the quarterback could use a little help, and I think Randall Cobb's a perfect one for it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fine select, and maybe that's even better than the one I went with. But I think criminally underrated, Shane.
Yeah.
Benny Snell.
Oh,
good
shit.
Running back.
Yeah.
I looked it up. I think he's scored like 50 touchdowns in 3 years.
Yeah.
Went over 1,000 yards every year. You know, we need a good running game to complement what we're trying to accomplish up there. Josh Allen, that's a cop in the comments. He was a really outstanding pass rusher. He'd be a good one. A lot of good players there in Kentucky.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. And I'm trying to think what else would help this team, though. I mean, can we make a quarterback selection? Can we bring Tim Couch back?
he would certainly help it. You know what?
Yeah. Oh, golly. That Tennessee, that Peyton Manning, Tim Couch game, still one of my favorite games, because it was just everybody was talking about that one coming into it. It was freaking awesome.
Hey, how about Ole Miss, all-time great? And I've said this many times. Let's try to see how good your memory is. Maybe the Cousins, too. I've said this many times. My favorite all-time defensive player suited up at Ole Miss, and he was my selection.
All-time, I don't know, who you got?
Patrick Willis.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean.
Michael Orr, that's a good one.
I'm so offensive, you know. I keep going back to offense. And I will say this, Ole Miss has had some killer weapons. I mean, you think about some of the receivers that's come through there, Brown and that monster that what's his name? Metcalf and but
AJ Brown.
That McCluster. And maybe it was just because I have nightmares of him running like for 400 yards against us. But, you know, we need some help, right? And that's kind of a utility knife that could do a lot for your offense. And I think old Cheek Golden would love to have him back in uniform.
Yeah, he's still running on Tennessee. You know what?
Yeah.
All right, how about Mississippi State, all-time great that you could add to this year's squad?
Say what again?
Which for Mississippi one? State.
Not quarterback. You go, I'm thinking.
How about someone to anchor that defensive line, Shane? Jeffrey Simmons.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, it's tough to beat him, you know what?
No, and they could really use him too.
Right. Ooh, Fred Smoot, people are saying. That'd be a good one. Corner. Smoot
be a good one. Yeah, I don't like to do defense, but I think you nailed that one. Yeah, get the trenches going.
That's what we desperately need down there, you know?
Yeah.
How about Mizzou? Who was an all-time great that you'd add to Mizzou's roster? Silver Spur sicko says Shane's Googling right now.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the Golden Goose. I'm thinking about bringing Luther Burden back, you know. I'd say Luther. Let's bring Luther back.
Yeah, that's a good one. How about, now again, this guy, he was probably even better in the NFL, so maybe this isn't fair. He was really good for 1 year. I believe he was banged up the other. But how about Aldon Smith?
Yeah.
Remember him for the Niners? And he just like, he had his issues, no doubt. But he when Harbaugh was with the Niners, he basically was the best player on that damn team.
God, I've seen a lot of Michael Sam. Why do they want to bring Michael Sam back?
Well, he was SEC Defensive Player of the Year, I think. But I don't think that's why they're big. No. All right, how about Oklahoma?
Oklahoma Sooners, give me...
Shout out Junior. Gave us a donation. He said he's got to go.
Hey, Junior, thank you, cuz. I know you said no quarterback, but I'd love to have Baker back. I'd love to have Baker back for one more year. That would be something special. And I know we got a quarterback, right? And probably wouldn't help this, but I guarantee he would be... he would change this. I mean, he's the guy. So give me Baker.
Okay. I like our quarterback. I like Money Mateer.
I know.
He's betting that I make a right pick here. Come on, Shane. Adrian Peterson, running back. Put him onto this squad. Good. Now, how you going to defend that?
Well, there's some jokes in there, and I'm not going for them. But I had AP won me several fantasy football leagues. So, yeah, I'm all on the Adrian Peterson train.
All right. How about now? This one I struggled with. How about South Carolina?
I'm so bad names.
Clowney.
Clowney would be an obvious one for me. I think of that Michigan game, decapitating a dude.
Right.
Yeah.
The thing about Clowney. Now again, Spurrier was a little bit of a wild card, you know, but. Yeah.
Lattimore.
When he calls out. He called him out basically for effort.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know if you could be an all-time great if your coach is calling you out for effort. You know what I mean? But how about Alshon Jeffrey, receiver? Just give Sellers another weapon. I think he's got some good weapons.
Yeah.
Some people are saying Sterling Sharp. Remember Farrell Cooper? He was awesome there for a little while.
Yeah.
A lot of good players, but I like Alshon Jeffrey.
Jeffrey's good. Yeah. I think at Alabama game.
Debo Samuel?
Debo's fun.
Ooh.
Yeah. He's been on several of my countdowns, you know? Debo be good. I'd like to have Debo. I like speed. I like explosive players that mm-hmm. can do a little bit of everything, kind of like that Percy Harvin, and I think Debo would be a good one to bring.
All right. How about for Tennessee?
Eric Berry.
Nailed it.
I was thinking about Al Wilson, but I'm going to go Eric Berry without a doubt.
With this system now, three safeties, put him in there.
Yeah. They'll go back to one safety if he was there.
Best safety in Tennessee history. I said Patrick Willis, my favorite. Eric Berry's probably tied. So, that's the guy I'm going with. How about Texas? Who are you bringing back?
Vince Young. No, I'm just kidding. We love Arch. He's our guy, right?
Well, I don't even think Vince would start over Arch, would he?
I'm fucking with you. Who you got? I running back.
Vincent? I went Ricky Williams.
Ricky. Oh shit. Yeah, Ricky. Yeah,
he was great, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he's.
That's like when I started to like fall into like that's when I started watching college football. So it's always burned in my memory that he's. One of the best, you know
what? Him going against Ron Dane, you remember that? It was like, who's the best running back? So then Cornbread Hemp came out. And
this is before Cornbread Hemp, you know what?
No. I Ricky was unreal. He was my favorite running back during that time frame.
Oh, Oklahoma fan, Eric, he says Parker Livingston. All right, how about A&M?
A&M, give me Miles. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I
think I should have. I think you beat me here. Yeah. But, you know, we've got four new offensive line, four starters off the offensive line gone. Mm-hmm. And I love Johnny Manziel. I think he's one of the best ever to suit up.
Yeah.
But I don't think enough credit goes to his offensive line. So I said left tackle Luke Jokel. That was his left tackle.
Yeah.
He was amazing.
Jokel's great.
We need him. A lot of people in the comments saying Mike Evans, great one.
Yeah.
Von Miller, another great one. Dak Nguyen, elite linebacker. I remember him. He was off. There's been a lot of good Aggies.
Oh, without a doubt, man.
All right. And then
generational player was Garrett. So.
Right. No, that makes – I think that's the right call. How about Vanderbilt, last team here?
Jay Cutler. No.
Smoking Jay Cutler.
Vandy. God, they had that receiver back in the day that was really good. I'm so bad names.
I think you were going right here. Is what I got written down. Jordan Matthews.
Yes.
Elite receiver. I don't think he ever got his due. But yeah, he was special. I'm kind of surprised you didn't say Pavia here. Give him another year.
I know. I'm seeing that popped up here in the comment section, and I got 12 reasons why Pavia should be. Mike.
Oh, we missed one, Shane.
Who?
The girl kicker. Shout out Sarah, whatever her name was. What a legend. Yeah. Scored against Tennessee, I believe.
I mean, you talk about totally opposite ends from that to Pavia. I mean, that is a turnaround.
They've come a long way, you know.
Yeah. They went from a lot of HR issues, I'm sure, after Pavia left.
All right, shout out cousin Kyle Loving Good. We appreciate you, buddy.
Did you say LSU?
Oh, we skipped them. Oh,
yeah,
I think I have a perfect one. So apologies. Who do you got for LSU?
Oh, I want to bring the Honey Badger back. Tyrone Matthew.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I wouldn't be mad with a Leonard Fournette. Either one of those I think would be great.
Okay. Now you're probably not gonna like this selection.
Of course they have like 10 receivers.
Great,
that
great
I'd like
receivers.
To have.
Yeah. I mean, all those guys would go well with Lane Kiffin's system. But I was I thought hard about this. Ooh, yeah. Patrick Peterson, another good one. People are saying in the comments. But I thought hard about this, Shane.
Yeah.
And the best Ole Miss ever got, in my opinion, under Lane Kiffin, was when they had a running back that could pick up tough yards and score touchdowns on the goal line.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to need it down there at LSU. I know they got talent down there, but do they have that goal line back? Do they got that fourth and short back?
Yeah.
I don't know. Give me Jacob Hester. Classic all-time beat Florida with the, what was it, like four fourth down conversions, yeah. All of, I believe, to Jacob Hester. That might be the missing piece here for LSU this year. Just if you got that short yardage goal line back,
yeah,
Kiffin's offense damn near unstoppable with that.
I don't know, man. I think about Leonard Fournette just carrying about 15 people and the water guy down the sideline, you know.
I got you. That's another one
that workhorse. I feel like, you know, just you could give him the ball 50 times a game and you'll be fine. So I would probably lean that way to help, but it'd be tough to pass up on the Badger as well. Just a little team captain over on defense.
Of course, he didn't end his career there.
Well, that's a good point.
But, hey, we're not picking that, right?
Yeah.
A couple of these guys got issues over the years.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a good point.
All right, so thank you for correcting me there. I didn't want to overlook LSU. Shout out, Cousin Kyle Lovingood. He asks a question every time. We appreciate you, buddy. Mike and Shane, everyone's talking about the portal.
Yeah.
But A&M has two of the hardest things to land, a veteran quarterback and a top five NIL budget. Toss in the 26 schedule. He's going to reference here, so let me share that on the screen. A 26 schedule that I don't know where he's getting these rankings, but he says it's ranked 15th out of 16 in the SEC for difficulty and dodges Georgia and Ole Miss. Why shouldn't the Aggies be the SEC favorite? Is Mike Elko just playing with a stacked deck at this point? So what do you think, Shane? First of all, let's tackle this one at a time. Would you rank this the 15th out of 16th schedule? I mean, I'm seeing a lot of tough road games here.
Yeah. I mean, LSU, Alabama, Texas, Oklahoma. I mean, let's see. We got four, if you count
more road games than home games in conference. That's not good.
Yeah. I just don't know. And it's not fair because now that we're at a 9-game, it's a little bit tougher for me to pick out who has the easiest or toughest right. schedule. But it's one thing for you
Tune
and I
in
to
next
see,
week. We'll rank the schedule.
I'm sure there's a list that we'll bring up at some point, but you know, you sit here and you're like, well, you know, Alabama's a little bit down, right? But then what if they're not by October 24th? Or what if South Carolina does hit? I mean, when you talk about this schedule, ain't nobody talking about South Carolina. Hell, they weren't talking about them last year, and they about beat them. So, I feel like it really doesn't matter at this point who's got the easiest or toughest schedule. But what does matter for me, Mike, is just returning production. And I mean, we brag about how much talent A&M has put in the NFL combine, but that's talent that you got to replace. And it's easy to say, hey, well, we got this guy and this guy, and we'll be fine. You know, it's easy to say that now, but there's a reason that those kids are going on the NFL because they were elite. So I'm not saying that A&M doesn't have an elite roster, but I do think you showed the quarterback. I feel like at the end of the day, Mike, it's going to come down to the arm of Marcel Reed and mainly the maturation, if you will.
Yeah. No, I think that's an excellent point. Again, when you send the most guys to the combine, naturally that tells me you're losing the most elite talent.
Yeah.
And when you win 11-1 in the regular season, you know, we credited Mike Elko for doing that. That was a hell of a job. But I always say the players matter more than the coaching. And maybe that's bared out by how many guys they sent that they really did have an elite roster. So that's going to be difficult. And then the other thing I was thinking about, which, yes, of course, you want a veteran quarterback, a guy that's been there. That'll never be a negative. But you remember last offseason, Shane? I mean, all we did was talk Garrett Nussmeier.
Yeah.
Lenoris Sellers. Talen Green.
Yeah.
DJ Lagway, some of us, mostly me, hyping him. You know, like, it seemed like all the quarterbacks we hyped up.
Yeah.
They were all awful.
Yeah.
Or maybe not awful is not the right word, but
Arch Manning. They just didn't
yeah. live up to it.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Marcel Reed, but just because we view it, these guys as the top quarterbacks today and all off season doesn't mean that they necessarily will be. Is that fair?
It's always fair. I always laugh to myself when we're doing the QB ranks right before media days. Like, oh man, there's about three of these guys that ain't even going to be starting at the end of the year. You know?
Yeah. That's true.
Trinidad. Right. Where'd Trinidad come from? You know, I mean, there's always
we didn't
that
even
as
mention
well.
Him. You know what?
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
You know who we will mention?
Who's that?
Cousin Brad from the Fine Bob Show. He's a famous caller. He calls in all the time to Fine Bob. He got a question for us.
Yeah.
Shane. So he's a big Georgia fan.
Mm-hmm.
So by all means, rip into this team if you'd like. But Brad wants to know about Bama. Where will they finish and what bowl game will they go to? Shout out Brad. I'm thinking right now, I'm thinking 8-4 type and probably going to the Outback Bowl.
I'm going 9-3, and we'll be waiting on the last day to see if they get into the college football playoff.
Ooh,
yep. And okay. They do.
Over a 9-3 Tennessee.
Well, I don't know if Tennessee's going to be 9-3, but that's kind of where I'm looking at. There's some 0.5 games on there, so can you bring it up? So right now, I'm saying they sweep September. October is going to be a rough one for them. I think they go potentially 2-2 here. I feel like either the A&M or the LSU, there's a game somewhere there they're going to lose. So let's say 0.5s. So I'd say that's where the 9-3 is coming in, is that Georgia.
Could this be a case, though, Shane? Sorry to cut you off, but if we go 9-3 – isn't there a chance we don't have a marquee win?
Yeah, there's a real good chance. It depends on what Florida State does. You know,
right.
Wouldn't surprise me if Florida State just doesn't take off after that. Alabama smokes them. And maybe that's the conversation we have after Florida Gators beat them. We're like, is Florida State even good? You know, so maybe we have something like that. But, you know, you did that toughest four-game stretch. I think this is it because Georgia, Tennessee, A&M, LSU – brother, that's a nightmare's row. And if you can come out of there 2-2, then I feel like you're probably a playoff team, man. I mean, that's just that, being honest with you here.
Yeah, no, I could see it.
Yep.
But they're going Outback Bowl. All right, shout out cousin Cool Jimmy. Shout out, that's a cool name. Why does everyone keep saying Texas has a brutal schedule? Let's show their schedule here. Why does everybody say Texas got a brutal schedule? I'm not buying it. Let's slow down. First of all, they're one of only eight SEC teams with more conference home games than road games. That's not a gauntlet. That's a housewarming party. Second, they're the only team with back-to-back-to-back home games in conference. What? Man, he's making some good points here, Shane. Why? What? I guess is this a brutal schedule?
Well, yeah, in comparison to the last 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just here, I'll pull up last year, Mike. I mean, this remember the conversation we had, you know? Let's get past Ohio State, and then when's your next loss? I mean, nobody thought Oklahoma was going to be as good as they are, right? They didn't think that Texas was going to have a competitive football game till they played the Georgia Bulldogs. But look at the home games, Mike. San Jose, UTEP, Houston, Sam Houston, Vanderbilt, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Poor Texas fan had to spend money to go watch those damn games, right? So I feel like the reason that people are saying Texas got such a tough schedule is because, again, they got Ohio State and they have non-SEC games, and some of those are going to be a lot harder than the ones that were in 25. So, yes, I'm in that camp, but I'm in the camp that every SEC team's going to have a brutal schedule this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and we just never know.
No, we really don't, right?
Particularly this time, you know, with the portal and everything.
Yeah.
Tennessee could be good, could not be.
Yeah.
Florida, first year John Summerall, they could take off.
Right.
Or they could be bad again. Ole Miss, I mean, that's maybe the biggest wild card in the conference. Mississippi State could finally break through, and now that they got a qualified defensive coordinator. Missouri, I don't know what to make of them. LSU, another, could be a wild card. Arkansas, I don't think. Well, I mean, they're gonna be the smartest damn team in the conference. That's something. And then at A&M, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're just
four of the non-SEC games you got new coaches. So there's that, right?
Mm-hmm. And
probably a couple of them should have got some new coach.
No, I'm just oh, anyway, sorry. His question kept going. This is a long one, Shane. Oh. Third of all.
Oh, yeah.
They don't even leave the state.
Exhibit, if you'll look at Exhibit 3 here.
They don't leave the state till November 7th. November. By then, the Halloween candy's gone, and we're talking playoff rankings. And overall, they only leave Texas three times. Three. Mm. Some teams call that a two-week stretch. Yeah, well, he's making some good points here, Shane. Yeah. I mean, they don't have to leave the state. So, again, I don't know what that's worth, but it is kind of interesting.
So, well, I mean, they're leaving in September. Is that what he's talking about? Or
yeah, I mean, think he messed. Well,
yeah. I mean, you're coming to Knoxville.
So. Maybe he thought that was a Tennessee or a Texas team or something.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, Texas Volunteers. I like it.
And then last thing he wants to, so it keeps going, Shane.
Oh,
lastly,
okay.
Marler's gay. That's what he said. Those are not my words. Those are his. So just wanted to share that. All right, Shane, we got to move on to Thorhog. Appreciate your buddy. He always asks great questions. First thing I want to do is answer your family in Memphis question on why Arkansas hired Silver Fox. It's because we have an athletic director that has no idea what he's doing, how he still has a job, I'll never know. The last coach Arkansas had that came in and talked like Silverfield has been was an absolute disaster. I think we know who that is. I refuse to say his name. My question is, do you see Silverfield being that big of a disaster? I personally just see us getting a new head coach in 2 to 3 years.
Ooh. Yeah.
I mean, he's won a bunch of games. I don't think that's a totally fair comparison.
Well, I think where I'm at, Mike, and I'm just being real with you here, is kind of the Kentucky situation. You know, I feel like we need to kind of Barnhart this AD. You know, let him stick around, let him have a golf membership, let him fly the jet once a year. You know, something like that. But I do feel like this is it. And it's kind of crazy to me that this is your, I'm not saying your last hire, but it feels like it. Look, there's pressure. There's a couple of pressures on some of these ADs out here, Mike. I think the University of Florida is dealing with that. I feel like Arkansas's definitely getting into that boat. If they miss on this one, and this is another horrendous hire, and again, not saying it will be, but if it is, then I think we just start from one. I mean, we clear it down to the damn.
Well, how many times though, Shay, where you hire a guy and you're like, who the hell's this clown? And then six games into his career there, and you're like, we got us coach, buddy. You know what I mean? Like, we got to at least give this guy a shot.
Let me ask you this, and I'm being real. So we're talking about this conference right now. Mm-hmm. Who would you say the four best programs are right now to win, potentially win a national, or at least make the college football playoff?
In the SEC?
Yes.
Georgia, of course. Yeah. Has got to be up there.
So Kirby Smart.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I would say Oklahoma, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Probably right up there.
Yeah.
And then fourth, I would maybe give that edge to A&M.
All right, so let's go through that real quick. Kirby Smart, we all knew was going to be a good hire, right?
I didn't. So. I have a famous tweet that said, what a joke of a hire that was.
He's getting brought up. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's fair, but, you know, Nick Saban was putting out some dudes, right? And, you know, this one was one that was kind of a holdout that we didn't think was going to ever leave, and then he does, and the opportunity comes up. So I wasn't as down on him as he was. Same thing I would say about Sarkisian. I felt like that would be a home run hire. I thought Venables would be a really good hire, you know, with everything he did over there at Clemson. The only one I would argue is maybe Elko. In this scenario, that's maybe one I wasn't read up on. Not quite like Silverfield. I was aware of him, but I'm just trying to think, where are those coaches coming from? You know, those guys that you say we didn't know where they were prior to, like
Josh Heupel is a perfect example. Tennessee fans hated that hire. You hated that hire. Don't lie to people. You did not like. And I'll tell you the number one thing all Tennessee fans said.
Yeah.
I'll bring up his damn resume right here. This was verbatim, every damn one of them. Well, hell, he got worse every year at Central Florida. How the hell was he going to do here? You know, no one was on board with this hire. Yeah. He's been a revelation for that program.
That's fair. That's a good one. All right. So they do exist. Maybe he's the next
Silverfield. I'll give you another one.
Yeah.
Which it seems like now the only ones that like him are his fans. But, hey. That, to me, that's good. That means he's doing a good job. I thought Drake. I was like, who the hell's this guy? You know, I think he's doing a good job.
What was it? The South Carolina game is the first time we ever. I mean,
yeah, he beat Muschamp.
Yeah, yeah. We're like, oh, okay. So they hired that guy. Yeah, that's the bars. Beat South Carolina, and you're in. But yeah, that's another one. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just feels like these days you kind of see, but we're talking about elite programs that keep rebuilding and reloading and keep hovering toward the top of the conference, right? Mm-hmm. I think like Ole Miss, yes, they raised, but we all knew Lane Kiffin and we all knew that he had that potential to do that to a program, but he also had a potential to burn it to the ground. So it's really a kind of a gamble. And as much as I'd love to give the credit to Silverfield, one of the things you said earlier in this show, it's about the players. And if Silverfield can get those players and get that group that can kind of build this foundation, yeah, they'll be fine. But, you know, there's not a lot of rope these days with the new coaches in the Southeastern Conference.
And we say all that, Shane, and Thorhaug, this was his question, right?
Yeah.
He says, I agree with Brodo. He'll be the first new coach fired. we tried to reel him back in. He's like, nah, he's getting fired. Nah, you know what?
He go.
Hey, we get asked this question a lot, but yeah. I think it, you know, it's relevant. Shout out Sooner135 asked it. Would we support the SEC going back to East and West divisions, 8 conference games? What's your thought on that? Did you like to go back to divisions?
No.
Yeah. And I get it. It's usually Texas and Oklahoma people that ask this question because they didn't have to live that hell.
Yeah.
But it was nonsensical. I mean, hell, we might as well not even call it a conference if Tennessee and A&M play once every 7 years.
Yeah.
If Georgia and Ole Miss play every 7 years, on and on and on. It was stupid.
Yep.
I hated it. And I think this is going to be difficult. I get it. But I think this is much more balanced. And again, even in that old model, there was, you know, it depends on, you know, for years, the East was tougher and then the West was tougher. You know, sometimes it just was totally imbalanced.
Yeah.
Like for Kentucky, who had Mississippi State out of the West and then they had the East. I don't know. It just... It didn't even compare to like a LSU schedule. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yet they're in the same conference.
Or Auburn. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, Auburn really got screwed in the old one. You know what?
Yeah. They're like, hey, we good. Now we're complaining about having to play Georgia every year or every other year.
Right. So it's not perfect the way it is now, but it's significantly better.
Yes, without a doubt. I'm excited about it. I mean, I was a little leery about the 9 game because I'm worried about playoff, you know, implications. But, you know, I just gotta have faith, right? Just gotta have faith that we will have enough SEC teams recognized in that college football playoff.
Mm-hmm. All right, shout out this guy, Shane. I think he's a troll, but it is a good question. I think he's a Big Ten fan. His name is Little Tanner, which I kind of like that name. Who will be the next SEC coach to win the conference championship? Kirby's the only one of the active head coaches that have won it. He says, talk about a top-heavy league. So if you had to put money on it, Shane, who's the next coach to win the conference title?
Sarkisian. Hell, he's already been there, right? There's several teams that ain't even sniffed. I mean, think about some of these teams that have been in this conference this long, ain't even sniffed the SEC championship.
Yeah.
Sarkisian's already been there. He knows what it's like. He knows where to park next time he goes there. You know what I'm saying? And
but just because he's been there doesn't mean he'll
return. Got a better roster now. They're back. They're back. Texas.
Give me Elko.
Oh, keeping in the state, huh?
Yeah. Because I think Georgia's winning it again this year.
Yeah. So you're thinking about next year.
So I'm looking 2 years ahead. Yeah.
Who's really good next year? Tennessee's back, baby. Josh Heupel then.
All right. How about this one? I like this one from because of Wesley Williams. Which SEC player that nobody's hyping up could have a breakout season next year?
Say it again.
Breakout players that no one else is hyping up in SEC football next year.
Breakout players. You go while I filter through this one.
Now, this first one might be the weakest answer because I have started to see him getting hype, but we hyped him first, I feel like, Shane.
Yeah.
Mississippi State quarterback Kamario Taylor.
Okay.
How about that?
That's good.
All right. And then I know we just sat here and, well, I don't know what we did, but you did and Thorhog did. Bash Silver Fox.
Yeah.
How about their quarterback, KJ Jackson? He came in a little bit. I liked what I saw. Breakout. No,
I like that one. I like that one. Can the Dallas kid be a breakout? I mean, he had like 1.5 good games, right? But John Summerall was loathing over this kid. I mean, they're giving him the number one jersey, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
He's had an awesome camp. He's a little banged up right now, so you're not going to see him much in the spring, but this is a guy that I feel like could explode in 2026 down there.
He's banged up again, or is it still from?
Well, he says if there was a game, he'd be playing.
Okay.
But he said it like 5 times, we got to be smart. So I think
he's got to practice at some point, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think the smart move is just he's exercising, like he's working out, but he's just not like taking contact right now.
Okay. And then I got some running backs here.
Yeah.
Now, again, this guy may not technically qualify because he's pretty outstanding for Tennessee, but I don't know if nationally or around the conference is getting much love. How about DeShaun Bishop at running back? I think there's a case to be made he may lead the league in rushing because I would imagine Tennessee's really going to run the football next year more than throw it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look at Josh Heupel, I think we all do that. Like, oh, who's the quarterback? He's going to have elite yards. We had 3 receivers, I think, over 800 yards, 700 yards, something crazy like that last year. But one thing that you consistently have is statistically an elite running back. So, yes, I think that's a great pick.
All right, how about Oklahoma running back Torrey Blaylock?
Yeah.
He's another one I think could be a big – maybe that's the missing running back. We're not missing, but just breakout running back for Oklahoma.
Shit, just Google Oklahoma football, and that's the first thing that keeps popping up. Are they going to get the running game right? So,
and then I don't know if this guy is a great answer, Shane, but he came on late for Texas.
Yeah.
Of course, they went to the portal and got all these running backs. So Christian Clark, freshman, said, well, I'll get in a portal. I'm going to Carolina.
Yeah.
New offensive system, new offensive coordinator. How about Christian Clark? I'm putting him on the breakout list.
Oh, yeah, Christian Clark, absolutely, man. So, I mean, that's the crazy part. There's four or five names we have no idea right now. That's Southeastern Conference, man. And being not as deep as we have been in years past, some of these kids are going to be pushed out there early too. So, yeah, super talented roster. They're all over. They're riddled all over. But mainly some of these new coaches coming in. That's the one I'm looking at. Like, who are they going to lean on for that offense or defense?
And then I got a couple receivers.
Yeah.
Now, these guys have all been making plays, but I'm thinking maybe they're all SEC type potential. Give me at A&M, Ashton Bethel Roman. Mm-hmm. He was kind of the three with Casey Concepcion. I know they added Horton, but maybe it's Bethel Roman. That'll be, you know, the next great Aggie receiver. At Alabama, everybody's wants to talk Ryan Williams, but Lotsier Brooks, the freshman, he was outstanding.
Yeah.
So I'm putting him on that list. And maybe I got too much Carolina in me, Shane, but I give me Jaden Sellers.
Yeah.
I thought he started to come on a little bit here. And
yeah.
You know, his favorite target's going to be his brother. You know what I mean?
They've been talking all offseason, you know? I won't help you out, bro. Just be ready.
Hey, shout out to, I missed this one from Call Me Touchdown Tiger. What is Shane's highest bowling score and his favorite snack?
I'm not a good bowler, man. So I would say probably around like 150, you know, probably.
That's pretty good.
That would probably, like, that's the best, right?
I mean, I don't think I've ever
heard that. I have it. So when I go bowling, I do this every time. Like, I know I need to be conservative.
Wait a second. Is this, you get the bumpers?
No. Okay. No, not that conservative. No. So, you know how everybody does that, you know, exaggerated, you know, spin type deal, and then it goes. So I don't do that. I start out right down the middle, and I'm looking at the lines, and I'm just trying to get it straight, right? But then about the 6, 7, you know, around that spot, I'm like, hey, let's start spinning the ball, you know? And 50% go in the gutter, and the other 50% never connect for a strike. So I just – that's always what happens. Favorite snack? Man, I've got a lot of favorite snacks. What I'm craving right now is those – you know those little Snyder pretzel pieces? You remember, Mama always had them. There was the honey mustard ones, and then there was the hot ones. We call them hot rock. They call them hot rocks in jail. Those little bastards. Those are some good snacks.
They're killing me in the comments, Shane. Derek Cole, that spin move, too much cardio for Shane. And several people have asked, can you count bowling instead?
Who do you think you are? I am.
All right. And then shout out Brodo. He's got a wild question for you here, Shane. Brodo's a wild man.
Yeah, he is.
Here I sit, brokenhearted, tried to poop, but only farted. Then today I took a chance, tried to fart, but pooped my pants. Shane, what's your top 3 to 5 spots for cookies?
Cookies? Oh. You know, I'm not a big cookie guy. Like we went to Crumble.
Upset of the year.
I'm just saying it. And maybe I've just not found. Here's the thing. We used to have a school store at high school. This is like when obesity really kicked in because I was there and all my lunch money went to this. We used to have these little Otis something spunk. I can't remember the name of it, but we would make the cookies and sell them, you know. So probably kids know who I'm talking about or what I'm talking about, but. That one would be on there because it's out of place. Food City does these one cookies that are outrageous. And Food City is a local grocery store here in Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia. But it would have kind of like an Almond Joy setup. Oh, brother, that's killer.
Okay.
But I don't know. Is there other cookie? Maybe I'm missing it. The only cookie place we have around here is Crumble, and I am not a fan.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, there's a lot of local bakeries and stuff that I've tried around here. I even met this lady at a, it was like a farmer's market.
Yeah.
down the road, and she set up a little, I don't even know what to call it, but it's like a little shed in her front yard.
Oh, nice.
She bakes, and then she put, and then she just is there all weekend with her baked goods, and you can swing by, and it's kind of dangerous because it's within right walking distance of my of my house here. It's in my neighborhood, so you walk over to her shed and buy. She makes all kinds of cookies and cakes and cinnamon buns and all this.
Shit. I'd be like, that thing got wheels, just bring it on down. She knows. Girl Scout cookies, always knocking on the door here. You know what I'm saying? Now, if we're just talking cookies, like best cookies, because I was thinking my favorite, absolute favorite, your mom makes them now. Our mamaw used to make them, and that was the peanut butter cookie. And it's like rolled in sugar, and they drop a kiss in it. Oh,
right.
And you get those right out of the oven, right when that chocolate's melting. Oh, buddy. Yes, sir.
All right. Wait, are you more likely to walk or go eat some cookies?
Cookies. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're locking in. We're locking in. Tomorrow, going to get some steps in.
All right, shout out. Last one here. Cousin Trey Tucker always got some great questions for us, Shane. And isn't it comical that all these damn NFL people, like, they just found out yesterday that Talen Green is a freak show. But his question is, what was it more egregious that Arkansas won two games with Talen Green and Mike Washington from the offensive side or defensive? So I guess, or defensive. I guess he's... I don't know if I fully get the question, but basically, what's worse? That was their defense terrible, or is it bad that they only won two games with these two elite offensive players?
Huh. Maybe the second there, right? That's
well. I just think that this is like the ultimate display of why I love football, because you can have two elite. You can have even a quarterback and a running back. You'd be like, well, shit. I guess we're good, right? But football is such a game of the – you need the whole sum of its parts.
Yeah.
If you don't have a defense, if you don't have an offensive line, if you don't have good receivers, you know, it's like you're screwed. It doesn't matter how talented – and we told them time and time again, Shane, how good Talen Green was. Mm-hmm. And then people were just like, you idiots, are 2-10. But no, I think he's phenomenal. And I think if he goes to the right spot, he'll probably be a really good NFL player.
I like this. Nice use of egregious. That's a word I never use, Mike, but you are spot on. I'm sorry. You lost me at cookies. I am still going through them right now. Subway, also good cookies. I saw that. Fun fact, not next Monday, but the Monday after, going to have Coach Beamer on for another segment of Coach Talk, and maybe I can get some of the Beamer cookies sent our way. That would be probably the first three questions I ask.
Yeah, I don't think I would ask him that. But all right, how about and then Trey also says, in a pinch, what is your fallback dinner?
Oh, fallback, man! I tell you, I'm poor, right? And we always have like poor food around here. There is a can of corned beef hash, Hormel corned beef hash. I mean, we got the higher end. And so in a pinch, we get in a jam. We'll toast. We'll take some bread, put it in the toaster, get that corned beef hash rolling, and then we'll hard boil some eggs. So like that, we got a nice warm breakfast for dinner.
You ain't eating that. I'm
dead. Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Hell yeah. And a pinch. That's like, seriously, we talked about doing it yesterday. Then we went to somewhere, El Torito.
All right. And then finally, favorite meal as a kid that was a complete hodgepodge?
Oh, favorite. You know, mom was a weird cook. So I love
that
her
meal
death.
Sounds egregious.
Like, my favorite meal that she made growing up was burritos, which was really just the old El Paso taco kits, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you get the flour tortillas, and you just kind of make a taco knot. That was always my favorite. One of the wildest ones that she made, but I craved, I'd ask for occasionally, was chipped beef. Have you ever had that?
Chipped I don't even think beef? I've heard of it.
Yeah, you're going to have to put it on the Googs, Mike, because it was pretty damn good. But
I times think it, are hard in the Tennessee ghetto.
Yeah, when I got the canned corned beef hash, you know we've hit rock bottom, Mike.
Good night. Okay. Anything else? That's all the questions we got on this one.
Nope. It was always fun.
Did you see Arkansas is putting Tyson chicken on all their uniforms?
Really?
Yeah, they made it official. And they said 90% of the money is going to the players, so at least they got that right. But okay. I don't know if it's chicken nugs or if it's just – I think it's just Tyson Foods.
Is it like the entire uniform's just nuggets, like on top of it? Yeah, dino nuggies. I don't care. If it helps me get better talent to Arkansas, I'm all for it, you know. Yeah. So I saw tonight's shout-out. Let's see. Let's get that pulled up. Thank you. Thank you, cuz. Appreciate you doing that. Tonight's shout-outs go to Junior, Chris Herbert, Freeloader. Thank you, cousins, for being absolutely awesome. And appreciate you, JP. I just realized I will read anything he writes. So, fried space. Oh, hey, don't knock it till you try it, right? Do not knock it till you try it. Here's what you do with fried Spam. So you put it on there, you like cut it up, and you put it on there while you're waiting. You cut you up another little one, just a little, you know, raw dog it there. So medium rare Spam, nothing wrong with that, you know.
Hey, I think that's a good place to end this one. All right, I don't know when we'll catch you. I got an interview scheduled tomorrow.
Okay.
And I finally figured out, I think, how to do calls, so we could do a call-in at some point as well.
Yeah, call-in show? Come on, official cousins, get ready.
Yeah.
We're going to have us a nice little call-in show.
So be on the lookout for that, but until then, we'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go ball.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.